Thank you very much. I bribed a few people to come here tonight. I told them I had an announcement. I'll do anything to get people to come and hear me. Ask the teenagers. I might even dress up in a chicken suit someday just to get them to come hear me. But I have an announcement tonight, and the announcement comes not as a shock to me, but I guess as a little bit tentative thought through my mind. But Misty and I were expecting a baby. And so, yeah, we are expecting a baby. So I bribed my grandparents to come hear the announcement, and that way they had to stay and listen to him hear me preach, but I'm sure they would have came anyways. But we have been trying for a while, and we're having a baby, and so we're excited about that. Take your Bibles tonight. Skyler still got his tooth. He's going for the world record of holding a loose tooth in his mouth. I tried to rip it out of his mouth at Hammond while his mom was away so she wouldn't hear his screams, but he kept getting away. So turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Skyler thinks that the new baby should be called Timothy. He's actually already calls him Timothy. I was hoping for a girl, but Skyler's convinced it's a boy. Misty's hoping for a girl, and she's already got a name picked out, and I just wonder where I come in and all this, but you know how it goes. Some of you guys might say, you know, congratulations, and some of you say, it's about time, and, you know, you can talk to my wife after church. But anyways, Joshua chapter 10, Joshua chapter 10, Joshua chapter 10. I'm excited about this message. When preacher asked me to preach, I didn't have a message, and a lot of times when preacher asks me, I've already got something in my mind, you know. And all through this week, man, I sought God's face. God, please, He's given me this opportunity, and do something with me, God. Give me something to bring to the people. Give me something that they can use. Give me something that they can take home and take through the week, Lord. And throughout the week, I prepared three or four sermons and just could not get peace about any one of them. I could not get peace up until last night. I missed choir practice last night because I was studying for another one. And I just could not get that witness of the Holy Spirit. And then when preacher preached that sermon this morning, there was my witness. Preacher preached on faith, and a lot of my message will be based on faith tonight. But tonight the message is entitled, Victory in Life's Problems. Victory in Life's Problems. And I'm going to speak on that very topic tonight. If you would, stand with me and for the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 10, we'll start in verse 11. Joshua 10 and verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel. Actually, start in verse 9. Go up to verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And chased them among the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So they all died from hail. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the... Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about the whole day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly, Lord. You know I don't. I pray that you'll speak through me. I pray that I'll just be the vessel tonight in which you've chosen to bring a message to Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit's power will be on me. And Lord, I pray that I'll be able to give them something that they can take with them that may change their lives, Lord. And I pray that you will just bless this service tonight. Speak through me. Make it not me, but you. And I pray that you will just give us a great evening in your house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm talking about victory in life's problems. How many like to be victorious? I like to win. I enjoy winning. I hate losing. I can't stand losing. And the exciting thing about Christianity is that it's not a loser's religion.
Amen.
Christianity is for winners.
Amen.
Christianity are for guys who like winning.
Yes.
Christianity are for families who like succeeding. Christianity are for families who like their kids to turn out the proper way.
Yeah, yeah.
Christianity is for the victors.
Amen.
Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on the victory in the Christian life. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been reading through the book of Joshua and then also reading a lot in the book of Romans, going through Preacher's Romans class. And God has given me a series of lessons that I'm bringing to the teen class on victory. This morning we talked about victory in friendships. Next week we're talking about victory over sin. If you know a teenager that needs victory in their lives, and you're saying every one of them, and you please bring them on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We start downstairs and we're going to speak to them about victory. This morning we talked about victory in friendships. And I brought the statistic that 70% of all convicted felons in the state penitentiaries today blame the fact that they're there on their friendship. They say, my friend sent me here. It's my friend's fault. My friend brought me to this place where I robbed the bank or, well, you know, whatever it is. And none of them take responsibility for that. And it's so important that we choose our friends wisely. That we let God do the choosing. And we just do the listening. But I'm going to be speaking for the next couple of weeks on victory. And God gave me this sermon throughout those studies. And tonight I'm going to dwell on Joshua and talk to you tonight about Joshua and the victory that he experienced here in Joshua chapter 10. Tonight, it's not a matter of getting victory in the end. You already have victory promised in the end. Jesus Christ will come back in the clouds. He will take the believers home with him, and we will have heaven as our eternal home if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight, what I'm talking about is not getting victory in the end. You've already got that. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have victory in the end. Tonight, what I'm talking about is living a victorious Christian life. I'm not talking about victory in the end. I'm not talking about victory over death. You have that. You have that promise. But tonight, I want to bring forth some promises to you that you can use every single day in living a victorious Christian life. Now, I'm not talking about pie in the sky, you know, hanky-panky, freedom over financial stress, as preacher would call it, tiptoeing through the tulips. I'm not talking about that kind of Christian life. I realize that we have seasons of defeat and seasons of doubt and seasons of death and seasons of trials and temptations and seasons of heartache. But what I'm talking about is coming through consistently victorious. You know, it's great when somebody gets knocked down and gets back up. But it's greater when they get knocked down seven times and they get up seven times. And the more you get knocked down, and the more you get up, tonight I just want to encourage you to continue to get up.
Yeah.
Encourage you to live the victorious Christian life, not just today, not just in the end, not just when you get old, teenager, but every single day. Through life's defeats, through life's problems, through the heartache that comes our way. As a Christian, I want you to live victorious. I want to talk to you tonight about Joshua. Joshua, as I was studying this book, Joshua, it's an exciting book. You've never seen so many victories in all your life as the book of Joshua. Joshua had some huge promises from God, and you say, well, God had these, or Joshua had these huge promises. I don't have these promises. We have the same promises that Joshua has, and I'll show them to you tonight. But what I'm talking about tonight is I just want you to think and to realize that we can have consistent victory as a Christian. Joshua, as he was, as God gave him the command earlier in the chapter that he had to defeat all of these armies and all of these kingdoms and all of these kings, it was a huge task. It wasn't just a small task. It wasn't just a task that anybody could do. God gave him the task of doing something huge for him. And Joshua took that task, and Joshua took it seriously, but he had God on his side. Right before we get to the point where I was reading, God rained down these hailstones on an entire army and defeated an entire army just by weather. What an incredible story. But then as we go into verse number 9 and verse number 10 and verse number 11, We go down through there, and Joshua has a problem. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, Joshua had a problem. All of us have problems. We each go through problems. We each go through heartache. But Joshua here, he had a problem. It was getting dark. Joshua had a huge task. God had given him the right to go out and kill all these armies. And it starts getting dark. Joshua doesn't have the time to do what God asked. Joshua had a problem. He knew that he had to defeat these armies because God commanded him to. But it started getting dark. We all have problems. When I talked about not talking about a pie in the sky religion, that's not what we have. We all have problems. It's promised to us that we will have problems and trials. We are all going to have struggles. We're all going to have those things that come into our life which you think, man, how am I ever going to get out of this? How am I ever going to get past this point in my life? Maybe it's a besetting sin, a sin you just cannot get victory over. We all live with them. It's not just you. You say, Eddie, you don't know my life. You don't know my marriage. You don't know the home that I live in. I had a teenager tell me last week, you don't know the home I live in. I said, you don't know the God that I serve. Amen. You don't know the God that gave me the same promises. The God that authored my Bible, authored your Bible. I have the same promises that you have. You don't know my God if you use that as an excuse. You don't know my life. You don't know my marriage. You don't know my home. God promises victory. We all have problems. We all have problems. As I talk, Satan, real quick, Satan gives affliction to make us fall. God gives affliction sometimes to see us succeed. Sometimes the problems are given by God. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials. Sometimes God says, here you go, let's see what you do with this. Look at the book of Job. Job went through some of the most vicious trials that you can see any Christian go through, losing his life or his wife, or not his wife. I think he was hoping he'd lose his wife, but he lost his children and he lost his wealth and he lost all these things. And through that, Job didn't sin. But Joshua had a problem. But number two, if you're taking notes tonight, Joshua, praise God, Joshua had a promise. Joshua first had a problem, but then he had a promise. Look over into Joshua chapter 1. I want to read a couple of these promises to you. Joshua chapter 1, and looking in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Does that sound like a New Testament verse somewhere? I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You have the same exact promise that God gave to Joshua. You have it today. Joshua, as he's going through battle, as he's facing these huge armies, he took that promise with him and he said, God's never going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to fail me. And you have the same promise today. Hebrews chapter 13. Joshua was invincible with God. If you go back to chapter 10 where we were. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. For I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not be a man of them stand before thee. How cool would that be? You know that you're going into battle. You don't even have the chance of dying. Because God says, I'm going to put them in your hands. Every person that you come into battle with, you're the victor. Amen. You're the victor. And God is giving you the same promise tonight. Every battle that you experience in your Christian life, whether it's over Satan, in the past couple weeks, David talked about Satan and our adversary, the devil. God has already promised you victory over Satan. Stick it in his eye. Go to say, Satan, you know what? Your end is damnation. You're going to spend the eternity in the lake of fire. Guess what? I don't have to listen to you, Satan. We don't have to listen to Satan. We have a promise. We have a huge promise. We have a New Testament promise. It's not just a promise that he gave to Joshua. It's a promise he gave to us. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I've been really studying this book of Romans. And Romans chapter 8, I want to give you a couple of awesome promises from God tonight. Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 28, we'll read just a couple of verses here. Romans 28. Romans is a book of victory. One thing that I've realized more than anything is that Romans promises us victory. If you like, if you take calcium for your bones, take Romans as a vitamin for victory, because you should take that as a daily dose, because it will help you succeed in your daily life. Romans chapter 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." What an awesome thought. We know that everything we do, everything we have, every situation, every circumstance will work together for good to them that love God. Awesome promise. Then look at Romans 8:31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. Don't you feel a little bit like Joshua? If God's before us, if God's in front of me, no matter who, what trial and what problem I face, I can have victory because God's in front of me. God's already got the battle won before I even get there. Yeah. I just have to claim His promises. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, another outstanding promise. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. Not one thing. It says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The love of God is powerful. Let me just talk to you tonight. I need your response back. If you have already trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've already accepted Christ, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. I want you to answer these couple of questions out loud. If you die, you will go to heaven. You are going to see Jesus, and you're going to walk through the gates of pearls, and you're going to walk on streets of gold, and you're going to live in a mansion, and you're going to run your hand across the walls of jasper. My friend, you already have the victory. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can take those promises to the bank. You have those promises to live with each and every day. I asked a teenager the other day, as I was preparing for this message, I said, "What's the worst thing that could happen to you? What is the worst possible thing that could happen to you in your life?" I'm expecting, though, some philosophical, you know, he's going to lay it on me, you know. "I could die." You know, and he's like, "I could die." It's like, that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? Do you know that death, if you're a saved person, death is just a doorway? Death is just a doorway like that door right there. And as you walk from this life into that life, 5 seconds after you get into heaven and you touch those walls of jasper, all the problems and all the trials that you faced, it's not going to matter what happened here. Death is just a doorway. Amen. Death is just a transition point to get you to the promise that heaven's already prepared. Jesus Christ is preparing a mansion just for you. Death is just a doorway. Point number three, if you're keeping notes, number one, Joshua had a problem. Number two, Joshua had a promise just like you. And number three, Joshua had a presentation of faith. Joshua had a presentation of faith. This is where I want to spend the meat of the message tonight. Joshua had a presentation of faith. If you go back to Joshua chapter 10, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, and then I want you to look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Joshua 10, 12. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." Let me ask you, what kind of audacity do you think it took Joshua to stand in front of the entire armies of Israel and look up into heaven and say, "Son, stand still." I don't have that kind of faith. I don't know about you, but I don't have that kind of faith. Talk about a huge presentation of faith. Think of the Israelites standing around going, "You want the sun to do what? You want the moon? Josh, I know you're following Moses' footsteps. I know you told us that God's on our side, but Moses, don't you think you're taking it a little too far? Don't you think that that's a little crazy? I mean, it's already been set in its place, Joshua. Don't you think maybe you should try the little things first? Don't you think maybe you should just ask God to kill all those people? And instead of saying, God, could you stop the interplanetary rotation of the planets and just let us have sunlight for a day?" That's a pretty awesome thought.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible to think that one man could look up into heaven and say, "Son, stand thou still." And God heard him, and God took his faith to the bank, and God made them. You know what the most incredible thing that I found in studying this? There is actually scientific proof that for a half of a day, the world stopped in its revolution. Scientists have looked back through time. And the earth is supposed to revolve, right? The earth revolves. The sun doesn't move. The sun stands still. And the gravitational pull of the earth, you know, we spin. And that's how we have night and day, you know. Right now, our backs are to the moon and our fronts are to the, our backs are to the sun and our fronts to the moon. And then, you know, and in 12 hours, then we'll be facing the sun again. There's actually scientific proof that the earth stood still for at least a 9 to 12 hour period in the history of this world. Through all the mathematical schemes and through all of the things that we go that our scientists look at and all the different, they have figured out that one day there was a man standing, you know what? I don't care much for science. I never did like science very much. I like biology and stuff like that. But you know what? I'll give the scientists credit. This is pretty cool. This is pretty cool for them to figure out. You know, they want to disprove everything else. They want to disprove creation. And we come from apes and, you know, come from a lower life form and primordial soup and a dust and a big bang and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? This is pretty cool to think that some scientist sat there, figured this all out, and he realized that one guy stood there and he looked up in the clouds and he told the sun to stand still. And for a 9 to 12 hour period in the course of history, this earth stopped its rotation so they could have sunlight. Joshua had a presentation of faith. As you saw this morning in Preacher's Message, he said in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We heard what faith is this morning. I don't have to explain to you what faith is. If you were here this morning, you know what faith is. He gave a very good definition of it, a very good explanation of it. I want to show you one promise that we have. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. I got excited when I heard this. I got excited when I read this. When I was studying Romans and I come across this verse, I had never seen it before. I had never thought of it this way before. I got excited. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I always thought, you know what? I don't have enough faith to do anything. I don't have enough faith to, you know, I don't have, you know, it's faith is a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. Well, I must have faith that's so small you can't even pick it up in a microscope because I'm not moving any mountains anytime soon. You know, I'm one of those guys. I doubt myself all the time. God, I don't know why you expect me to do this. This task is way too big for me. I don't know why you want me to be the youth pastor. Do you realize that I have all these young people's problems in my hands and I have to seek you and find out what to do with their problems? And when they come to me and they say, Eddie, I've got a drug problem. What do you say to a teenager that says, I've got a drug addiction? You say nothing. Because God, the God of the universe, is the only one that can get him through that. Romans chapter 12. This got me excited. Romans chapter 12, in verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God, now don't miss this, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God took a scoop. God took this scoop, and he dipped it in the big bowl of faith, and he dipped it up, and he said, here's your scoop, eh? Here's your scoop, preacher. And as you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you this measure of faith. God says, I got a scoop. Eddie Wilson has a scoop of faith. I have a measure. I started out with the same measure that preacher started out with. Isn't that cool? He's probably grown a lot since, you know. But I have the same scoop. Did you know the person who thinks they have the least amount of faith started out with the same amount as preacher did? Started out with the same amount that Billy Sunday started out with. Started out with the same amount that Jack Hiles started out with. We all started out with the same amount of faith. We were all dealt the same measure. Man, that got me excited. I thought I could do something with my faith. I could take that small amount that God gave me, just like the talents in the New Testament. I want to take that small and make it big. God, how do I make it big? And here's the best illustration I could come up with to illustrate this. I'm going to need help tonight. I need, I need three teenage boys. I want Josh Howard. I want Daniel. I want Levi. Come up here. Levi, you're a star today. This is your second time on stage. Now, this is the best illustration I could come up with to illustrate a measure of faith. Now, this bag right here, it represents a big bag of victory. This bag is a bag of victory, and it has the victories to help you conquer all of life's problems. Is that right? That's right. There's a lot of candy in here. But anyways, let me show you a few things here in this big bag of victory. This big bag of victory, David, you can't do without Reese's, and you can't do without Milky Way Butterfinger. And I've got a couple of these are victories. These represent victories. Here's a one faith victory. Here's a one faith victory. Here are these little, this is a little one faith victory. Things you can conquer every single day. And these big king size candy bars, they represent a three faith victory. And then this huge whopping bag of candy that's going to give somebody some cavities. And that's why I'm sending it home with you, so I don't have to pay Skyler's dentist bill. But this big bag of victory, this is a five faith victory. This is the kind of victory that you got to pray for. You got to work for. You have to do something huge in your life, and you got to seek God's faith. This is a big bag of victory. And this is the bag of victory. So come over here, guys. Come over here. I got to stay by the mic here. Now, this represents faith. Each one, here's dollar bills here. Each one represents one faith. $1 bill represents one faith. God says, I have given you, I've dealt each one of you the measure of faith. Here you go. That's one measure of faith. You guys both started off with all the equal amount. Is any one of those dollar bills more expensive or worth more than anything? Josh Howard, you might not want to do that after the illustration. No, I'm just anyways, so hold your dollar up. They all got one. They just were dealt, just like God dealt each one of us, a measure of faith. They were just dealt one measure of faith. Now, here's what I want to do tonight. How many of you guys would like a one faith victory? How many of you guys would like a three faith victory? How many of you guys would like a five faith victory? Yeah, you like five faith victory? Well, how many faith do you have? How many faith do you have? Come on, speak out. How many faith do you have? One. They have one faith. So you can't have this five faith victory. It takes a lot more than one faith to get a five faith victory. Now, how many of you would like a three faith victory? You can't have the five faith victory. Would you like a three faith victory? Well, too bad. How many faith do you have? You have one faith. You can't afford a three faith victory. These are three faith victories. Okay, now let's go a little further. How many of you guys would like a one faith victory? Come on, you guys want a one faith victory or not? It's scary up here, isn't it? Would you like a one faith victory? No, you don't want a one faith victory. Anybody else? You want a one faith victory? No, you don't want a one faith victory. You want to walk? Hey, could I have you up here real quick? Come here. Yeah, you. Come here. Austin, come here. Here's your one measure of faith. Would you like a one faith victory? All right, here you go. Now, with that faith that he just used, he gets faith increased. He just used his faith. He just exercised his faith. So here you go, Austin. Here's two more faith. There you go, Austin. Oh, that's too bad. You guys couldn't settle for a one faith victory. Uh-oh, preacher's in line. You couldn't settle for a one faith victory. You were going for the big victory. You were going for the huge victory. So now he's exercised his victory. How many of you guys would like, what's your favorite out of these three right here? Reese's Cup. How many of you would like a three faith victory? Well, too bad. You can't afford it. Oh, you've got three faith. You got three faith, so he gets a three faith victory. Here you go. And with his three faith, he also gets, and he just used it. He just exercised his faith, so guess what? He gets more faith. So here you go, Austin. There's another two faith. So now Austin is rolling in the faith. Austin's got more faith than any of these guys. Now, how many of you guys would like a one faith victory? Okay, that's what I thought. All right. There's your one faith victory. And with their one faith victory, they get victory. They get faith increased, right? There's your victory increased. All right. Now, how many of you would like to have a five faith victory? Well, that's too bad. How many faith do you have? Two. Interesting. Is there a guy here that has five faith? Oh, you have five faith. And this is a five faith victory. So that looks like the only guy qualified here for faith, for a five huge faith victory, is the guy with five faith, right? So here you go, Austin. You guys can have a seat. Oh, you can keep it. Part of the illustration. Look at that. He's trying to give me back my money. So all these guys, they just illustrated how faith works. That's the best illustration I could come up with. One of the things that faith works like this. You use it or you lose it. You use it or you lose it. Anybody see Josh Howard stick that one faith in his pocket? Well, that's funny, but you know what? A lot of Christians do that. That one measure of faith that you were granted by God Almighty, you stick in your pocket and you say, God, I'm not qualified. I'm going to just keep all these faith in my pocket and I'm not using them. I'm going to sit on my pew, and I'm going to listen to preacher, and I'm not going any further, God. So you're going to have to get me out. One faith victory. Use it or lose it. The sad part is that a lot of us, God gave us the same measure of faith. And a lot of us are trying to get the big five faith victories. We're trying to get the big victories. I don't know where that bag went to. There it is. We're trying to get the big victories, the 5, the 50, the 60, the 7, the huge faith victories with one faith. We're trying to quit addictions like the teenager I talked about. We're trying to stop looking at pornography on the internet. Did you know that 82% of all teenagers have looked at pornography on the internet? We're trying to stop these huge problems in our lives. We're trying to rearrange our marriages and get them back together with one faith. God says with faith that is given to you, you use it and then I'll grant you more. You start with the small and you end with the great. A lot of you have still been on that first rung of the faith ladder. It's time a lot of us start stepping up. Start climbing up that ladder and start taking, you know, it's neat that it's a money illustration. That always catches my attention. But one quick story. As I was in the Becca building, I always think money grabs people's attention. And Rob was actually out that day and Harry getting pizza or something. And the kids were, they're wild. They're nuts. This day, there's not even that many of them there. You're thinking, man, if this was 100 kids Sunday and I'm teaching this, I would be pulling my hair out. Misty would have left. It is tough. It's tough in the super church. And so what I did was I thought, you know what? I know what gets their attention, money. And so I looked in my wallet and I get a $20 bill out. And we play this game where you grab the money. You know, you hold the money like this and you drop it and they try to grab it and they always miss it. You know, I call it Take Brother Eddie's Lunch Money. And that's my game. And we play that game a lot when I'm there because I think that money grabs their attention. Well, I thought, I'm going to get their attention. I'll grab a $20 bill. And then I said to the people that are picking the guys, we always have chaperones if you haven't been in Super Church, and they're picking the people that are in charge. Not in charge, but participating. And I said, you know, so-and-so pick me out a boy. And then I said, you know, so-and-so pick me out a girl for this game. And then I brought him up here. I said, make sure you get somebody young. I don't want to lose this $20 bill, all right? So they pick this little boy and they pick this little girl. I really didn't say that to him, but, you know, I'm preaching, so it's okay. But anyways, yeah, so we bring this, we bring these kids up here, and they actually were small. And the boy, you know, he misses, and he's grabbing, he's complaining. Oh, I want the $20. I need the $20 bill. I need to take, you know, and he's trying to grab it out of my hands. You know, I can even barely play with him. And then this little girl comes up, maybe kindergarten, maybe 6 years old. And as I dropped the $20 bill, she grabbed it. She grabbed a hold of it, and she said, oh, cool, suck it in her pocket and walk. I said, you have got to be kidding me. So I got another $20 bill out of my pocket. I thought, there is no way. I've never even had a kid take a dollar bill off of me, and I got it one more 20 out of my pocket. I thought, I'm going to keep these kids' attention. This got their attention. They're all sitting there like, he just gave away a $20 bill. You know, they would look like piranhas, you know, on meat. And they're, you just sit, and then you sit down and behave. He's giving away 20s. Let's be good. Hey, you got trash on your floor. He's not going to pick us if you don't get the trash off your floor. You know, and they're yelling at each other. And then, so we pick another couple. They come up there, and wouldn't you believe it? That kid took my other $20 bill. So it really was taking Brother Eddie's lunch, but not for a day, but like for a whole month. Sometimes God gives us the opportunity for victory. Sometimes he gives us the opportunity, just like I gave these kids the opportunity to grab that money. And a lot of times, like, I'm trying to get the victory, Lord, you know, and he says, you know what, if you would have just used your faith last week in the small trial I gave you, maybe you'd grasp the victory today in the larger one. Maybe to go after that larger victory. Maybe you could handle that larger victory, that 5 faith, 10 faith, 20 faith victory. So number 3, Joshua had a presentation of faith. You want victory in the Christian life? You have to present faith. You got 10 huge problems in your life. I got 10 huge problems, God. I got 10 big problems. And he says, are they all big? Yeah. Oh, God, they're big problems. I got problems, you know, huge problems. And then you realize, well, maybe I only have one huge problem, but then I got a lot of other little problems. And then he says, if you're faithful in the little, he'll give you much. So you start with these little, small problems. You start with number 1 on the list. I got 10, Lord, and number 10 is a drug addiction. And number 1, Lord, is anger. And so each day you say, God, I need the faith to get over this one little victory. It's not hard for me to get over it. And then you get over your problem with anger. And then you got number 2 on your list, and you go, Lord, I overcame the anger. Isn't this cool? I'm not getting ticked off at people. I'm not running into the back of their cars, you know, as they're running me off the road. Anyways, and number 2, you go, God, I got a problem with swearing. Let's work on that one today. God, and so you tell God, this morning I'm gonna do better on swearing. And I'm going to take the faith that you gave me. And I know I can do it through you because you say all things are possible through you. And so I'm going to work on my language today, God. And so you start working your way up the ladder. And all of a sudden you have 9 victories. You started off with one little victory, one little one faith victory. And then all of a sudden you got to the point, oh, there's the big one. The drug addiction. The huge 10 faith victory. God, I don't know if I have enough faith to get over that. But then you realize that your faith has been increased. You start working through those little problems. You start giving them to God daily, and you can overcome the big problems. Number 3, Joshua had a presentation of faith. Number 4, last point of the night, and I'll be through. God provided a provision. Joshua had a provision. Number 1, he had a problem. Number 2, he had a promise. Number 3, he had a presentation of faith. And number 4, God granted Joshua provision. I want you to look at me if you're still in Joshua. I'm not. I'm in Romans. But Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. One more time. Turn back there. One more verse and we'll be through. Joshua chapter 10. Man, this is a great book of victory. Joshua chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 13 with me. Now, this is after the Israelites are standing there like, you got to be kidding me. You told the sun to stand still? And you really believe that God's going to do that for you? Well, look at verse number 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. God made the sun stand still for Joshua. Let me ask you this question real quick. I got just a minute or two and I'm finished. I'm through. But you know what? You think Joshua got to this point in his life where he could tell the sun to stand still and the earth stopped revolving on its axis and the sun stayed up for an entire day? Do you think Joshua got to that point before he started getting through the little battles? You think that happened? No. If you read from Joshua, when in Joshua chapter 1, and where God says he's going to be with him, you know, Joshua's he's got to be distressed. Anytime you lose a great leader, I think of Dr. Scott over in Hammond. How could you imagine following Jack Hiles? Well, that's got to be a little bit like Joshua trying to follow Moses. Look at this huge man of God. Moses was on the mountain and was with God himself. Where do you read that anybody else was sitting face to face with God? Maybe not face to face, but you know, I don't think anybody could sit face to face with God, but he was there. God was there. Hit him in the cleft of the rock. And God was there with him. What an incredible thought. And Joshua said, God, how am I supposed to overcome all this? And God, through Joshua chapter 1, up until Joshua chapter 10, he gave them victory after victory after victory after victory. And some of them aren't huge victories, but there are victories nonetheless. And that's what you need to focus on today. You need to focus on getting the small victory today, and the small victory tomorrow, and the next victory the next day, and the next victory the next day, until God puts you in the point where you can look at your huge victory that you need and say, there's the faith, you've earned it, and now you can do something with your life.
Amen.
You can have the victory now. And Joshua looked into the heavens and he said, sun, stand still. And the sun stood still. What an awesome thought. God will provide his promises for you. His promises, they're not just for preacher. They're not just for me. They're not just for Rob, Brother Dave. They're not just for the deacons in the church. The promises of God that he authored in my Bible and yours are yours every day. All you have to do is claim them. Win the small battles first. Win the small battles first, and then go to Psalms chapter 81. And open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I will fill it. God himself, if you look up into heaven and tell him you need something, God says, open up your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Go after those small victories and then go to God and say, God, look what I've done. I've taken the little faith that you've given me, God, and now my mouth is open wide. Let me get some big victories, God. I want some 100 faith victories, God. Let me have some huge faith victories, God. When you walk out in the morning, I want you to do this. I want you to go, okay, God, I got one faith. I got two faith. I got three faith. I got four faith. I got five faith. I got six faith. Started out with one. Ended up with six. That's not bad, God, through the victories you've gave me. God, I got six faith. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today, God? What are we going to be victorious in? What can I overcome in my life? What can I do for our church? What can I come forward and serve in the ministries of our church? What can I do for you, God? Here's the faith that I have. Let's get it increased. Let's go forward for you, God. Tonight, you can overcome the victories of you can overcome the battles of the Christian life with faith. Number one, God had a promise, or Joshua had a problem. Number two, he had a promise. Number three, he had a presentation of faith. And number four, he had a provision. God will provide for you. The promises that he promises me, he promises preacher, he promises every one of you in here. All you have to do is claim it. Thank you very much, preacher.
What a message. I can't believe that kid preached that. I was supposed to critique him tonight. You did everything perfect. I don't know if have I ever got to hear you preach, son? I'm way other than tapes. I was with him there. We spent a couple hours together, and I said, Eddie, I said, I always have you preach when I'm gone. I said, I have to hear you preach. I've been working with him, and And he said, "Will you critique me?" I said, "Well, if you can take it." I said, I'll think about it, but I can't think of anything wrong. Other than you probably got me pressured now to give these kids money when I bring them up. You know, I'm glad you worked with ones. And I guess I tell you to work with fives in Super Church. I guess that's only up instead of 20s. Boy, what a message. You wouldn't think a young fellow like that could preach like that. That's tremendous. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe you need. Maybe tonight as the Lord spoke through Brother Eddie. Maybe you need to increase your faith. Boy, the whole day's been on faith. And maybe today you need to step out and say, "God, I need to increase my faith." Maybe you're a one faith person, but you could have 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and you could end up with that big prize, whatever God would want to give you. Maybe you've just been going through a lot of hard times, and you'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I really am going through a hard time." That's right, just come. Yes, just come. Scripture says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. You know, Christians, the old-fashioned altar is a great place to... You know, you can pray in your seat, but I'll tell you, there's just something about coming at that altar and praying. How many say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm one of those one-faith people, and I need to be a 10th faith. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, God bless you. All over the building, God bless you. As I look at, I would think everyone here would say they've saved. I don't see anyone here that I would think that's not saved, but we'll give the invitation. If you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you come. If you're here and you're saved, and you need to dedicate your life to Christ, maybe the first faith is just going down the aisle and say, "God, you got my life." Maybe that's the first step. And that leads to number 2, and then number 3 tomorrow, and number 4. And next thing you know, wow, you've got them. Heavenly Father, I really believed when I asked Eddie to preach, you wanted him to preach. What a great message. What a great challenge. What a great illustration. Lord, I marvel at the young man that can speak that well already. Please continue to bless him. Use his life. Keep adding faith to him. And Lord, I pray there are several hands that went up tonight, said they need to increase their faith. Lord, I pray that you would increase their faith. Tried to share this morning that the way a person increases, they have to step out. They have to take that first step, and then they grow after they take that step. And then you grow, step again, you're growing up, just like he was saying tonight. Lord, help us to be increased in our faith and walk with you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What page are we on, Dave?